Welcome to the Love, Heal, Thrive podcast, where you learn to love yourself enough to heal and heal yourself enough to thrive so that you can live a life that feels whole and complete, untriggered and unaffected by the people, places, and emotions that surround you. I'm your host, Erin Garay. I'm a hypnotherapist, Reiki master, medium certified meditation and Enneagram coach, and someone who has experienced and seen energy and energy patterns her whole entire life. And quite honestly, it's been hard, but I have learned it doesn't have to be, and I want to help you learn how to build an empowering life that turns your energy sensitivity into your superpower. I want to teach you how to no longer be triggered by people or situations and learn how to walk into every room and own it with your magnetic, powerful, amazing energy. Each week, I will offer you helpful tools and insight from my own journey, as well as bring in amazing and experienced guests that will help you on your journey by sharing their story and insight. Together, we will grow and we will learn how to love ourselves enough to heal and heal ourselves enough to thrive. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Hi, welcome. I am so happy you are here. Before we dive into this week's topic, I want to share a story from last week's episode. You know, I'm always teaching techniques and tools, and I mean, I try to share my blunders, but I thought this one was just so timely and perfect because the day that I put out all of this insight and wisdom in forms of newsletters and posts, all on becoming untriggerable. I didn't even follow my own rules. I was up super late. I was exhausted and was still in my workout clothes at almost near midnight and hadn't showered because it had been a computer day all day, kind of the risk of working from home. I'd asked someone in the house to do something and they didn't do it. And so I totally got triggered and it was quick. But then I was laughing at myself as I was telling my husband that here on the very day that I had posted guidance on how to be untriggerable, I myself got triggered. But then I could pinpoint I didn't take care of my primal needs. I did not get the rest I needed. And at this point in time, I hadn't even showered for the day, which is such a primal need in feeling great for our day and feeling that the basics are covered. So this made me more triggerable. And then my husband made a joke that because it was so late, I was actually just getting a head start on tomorrow's shower so I could reframe it and look at it as a reframed early shower for the next day. And we're actually going to talk about reframing today because it is such a powerful tool to maintain a high energetic frequency. But I wanted to share that story because I think it's important to know I'm human too. And I share these every week and these tools and techniques every week, not so much that I don't experience the same thing that every human being in the whole entire world experiences because I am human. The only thing that I want to guide you and bring you along on my journey is that I find I don't stay in those places very long. I remember once upon a time, years and years ago, I would ruminate or remain in a state much longer than desired than I do now. Now I can recognize and pinpoint why I would have gotten there and how to elevate myself out of that frequency. So that I can be in a higher energetic frequency and attract more of what I want. I just simply don't stay there as long. And that is the life I want for you. And so this is why I want to hang out with you every Monday and share tools and techniques that have worked for me. And I hope that they work for you. So today we are diving into everything that my book, Establishing Equilibrium, is about, the main theme of that book, which is how are your thoughts showing up in your body? I repeat this line in Establishing Equilibrium about 1,000 times. Our thoughts trigger emotion. Emotion moves energy. Energy manifests physically. And we're going to break that down today to figure out what that really means. It is truly not only the theme throughout Establishing Equilibrium, it is the theme of my practice, of my life, and it is a phrase that means so much to me. So I'm so excited to share this insight with you today. So first, thoughts trigger emotions. There are three different aspects of our thoughts triggering emotions. First, we go back to the reframe. The I'm getting a head start on my shower for the next day. But as we think about things differently, it redirects the emotions and the energetic frequency within our body. Our thoughts trigger our emotions. So when we recognize this, we can reverse engineer and look at the emotions that are showing up, but perhaps the thoughts that might have triggered those emotions. First, we can neutralize those thoughts by reframing and looking at them differently, in a funny way, in a pragmatic way, and certainly recognizing and knowing that when we experience an energetic pattern, we tend to always think and respond from that same energetic crevice that has been created within our energetic body. But when we can begin to placate that and recognize that pattern, we begin to respond differently. And this is how we end up becoming untriggered. And we get there, secondly, by controlling our thoughts. Every meditation teacher everywhere knowingly is teaching you tools and techniques to control your thought. So whether it is that you are focusing on the end of your nose while you are breathing, or you are focusing on only the out breath or the in breath, or you are focusing on counting to 10, all of these centering thoughts are simply allowing you to give your mind a neutral point so that the thoughts that are triggering can begin to fall away. But this is how we reach a state of emotional and energetic equanimity. We control those thoughts and recognize, all right, that's the energetic pattern that existed when I believed from 0 to 7 that I was excluded or that money was hard. It is in this 0 to 7 window that so many of our subconscious patternings are embedded. But when we can recognize and neutralize that thought, recognizing and knowing, oh, right, that's just a pattern that I learned. And is there truth to that? No. Is it real? No. Is any of it real? That's a whole other podcast. When we can begin to control our thoughts, we can reach the state of equanimity, knowing that our thoughts trigger our emotion. And there is a Buddhist technique to look at and envision our emotions as a bubble that is just going to pop. When we can wait out that bubble, it will one day pop and we don't feel that feeling anymore. And I like to blend that with this understanding of the energetic frequencies. It's not just that we're waiting out the emotional bubble to pop and that one day we stop feeling it. I believe that we raise our energetic frequency so high that we then no longer resonate with that thought or feeling. And so we don't feel it because our energetic frequency has raised above that state of feeling, which we are going to dive into a little deeper in just a little bit. But they come and go just as fast. Remember when you were in junior high and you just woke up one morning and you had a crush on someone? And the night before you hadn't had a crush, but then you woke up in the morning and all of a sudden, you had a crush on someone and you couldn't quite look at them the same way in the lunch line at school that day. And they often go away just as fast. But when we can begin to look at that as a result of the energetic frequency that we are experiencing, we no longer feel victimized by our feelings or out of control with our feelings. We understand the process, the energetic process and emotional process that is behind the access and control of those feelings. And it begins with our thoughts. Energy flows where attention goes. Where you place your energy and your thoughts, our emotions will follow. And our third component to our thoughts triggering our emotions. Trusting the world is always working out for us. Our life is always blessing us. And when we can recognize this to be true within our life, we don't get so aggravated by challenges or struggles that are ultimately blessings in our life. And this could not be better explained by this incredible Chinese proverb that you may know, but to be honest, I can read this every day. I love this story and it's just such a good reminder. So maybe you've already heard it. And if you haven't, I invite you to enjoy this for the very first time. But it is the man who lost his horse. Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer whose horse ran away. That evening, all of his neighbors visited him to commiserate, saying, "We're so sorry to hear your horse has run away. This is most unfortunate." To which the farmer simply replied, "Maybe." The next day, the horse came back, bringing 7 wild horses with it. And in the evening, everybody came back and said, "Oh, what luck! What a great turn of events. You now have 8 horses." The farmer again simply said, "Maybe." The following day, the man's son tried to break one of the wild horses, and while riding it, he was thrown and broke his leg. The neighbors came and said, "Oh dear, we're so sorry to hear about your son's leg. That's truly unfortunate." The farmer simply responded, "Maybe." The next day, an enlisted officer came to the farm looking to draft young men into the army. And upon seeing the boy's broken leg, he left the farm, allowing the boy to stay with his father. Again, all the neighbors came around and said, "How lucky you are that you can keep your son. Isn't that great?" Again, the farmer simply said, "Maybe." Do you see what an emotional ride those people just went on? The ups and the downs. When we trust that life is always blessing us, no matter what, we do not buy a ticket to the roller coaster of emotional variance. How exhausting is that? The highs and the lows. And when we waste our energy on the highs and the lows, we become exhausted. This also shows up when we pre-worry about what something will happen, or when we ruminate on something from the past, or we predict and waste our energy on prediction in the future, planning out what we're going to say, planning out what the 1,200 things that might could happen. We lower our energetic frequency when we do this. So when we can remain in this present moment, the past no longer exists and the present no longer exists, we are here within our present moment, raising our energetic frequency to the highest state possible. And when we do this, we then attract in the highest life possible. We no longer waste our energy on the high and the low, but rather remain in this state of emotional equanimity that allows us to ignite and raise our energetic frequency. And as I have talked about for several weeks, I'll include a few of the podcasts down below where I dive into our auric experience and the auric effect. As each one of our energy centers becomes stagnant as a result of the emotions that we are experiencing, as is that corresponding layer to our aura. So each one of our energy centers, otherwise known as chakras, creates one of the 7 layers of the energetic field around us, also known as our aura. when one of our chakras is stagnant here, as is that layer of interpretation within the aura. And the trauma that we experience, perhaps during a young age between 0 and 7 or 7 to 14, creates this energetic stagnation of interpretation around us. But when we know this to be true, when we are doing our work, when we are working on allowing our energetic body to be flowing and breathing in and out as it does when it is free and balanced and clear, it breathes in and out just like our lungs would breathe air in and out. We begin to interpret the energy and the life around us differently. But when we know we have this stagnation, we can also account for that just as we would account for gravity or motion. We can account for our patterns. And when we know what pattern exists, we then begin to heal and create new patterns so that one particular energetic pattern no longer challenges us. We know it's there. We can heal it and allow ourselves to then walk into rooms or be around people that do not trigger us because we have healed that energetic pattern. That, of course, all begins with a thought that triggered emotion. How are your thoughts showing up in your body? Moving on to emotions move energy. So we've got thoughts trigger emotions. Now emotion moves energy. What does that look like? Each emotion we experience creates an energetic frequency equal to that emotion so that our cells begin vibrating at that emotional experience because our thought has led us to believe we've added value to that thought. We've decided that that thought has value. We've allowed our emotions to be triggered. And triggering isn't always bad. That can be a happy triggering. But again, just like the farmer story, how high or how low are you willing to go for someone for you to remain in peace? Your goal is peace. Your goal is the highest energetic frequency possible. Are you going to allow your emotions to move your energy in a positive, uplifting way? I'll include a link down below to the energy frequency podcast that I did where it maps out all of the vibrations that each emotion experiences within the body. But shame resonates as one of the lowest frequencies. And then we make our way up the chart through grief and fear, pride, acceptance, up to love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. And listen, even as I just said that, those first few came off lower. And then as I said them, my voice itself even resonated higher as we make our way up that energetic frequency. As we feel an emotion within our cell, we begin to vibrate at that emotional frequency, much like water boiling turns into gas. It is just a simple energetic shift and quickening of the energy. The cell itself shifts into another state and vibrates at that emotional frequency. The cell shifts into a state that vibrates at an energetic frequency equal to that emotion. And the summation of all those cells vibrating at a certain energetic frequency is the collective state called your mood. This presents itself as the more sustained personality experience you are living and experiencing every single day. And we can raise that mood. We can raise that summary of all those individual cells through gratitude, through meditation, through eating high vibe food, thinking high vibe things, listening to high vibrational music or insight. How are you raising your energetic frequency to draw in the life of your dreams? I'm going to let you feel into where your feelings are right now, and we will come back to this episode after this brief message. Learning how to establish your equilibrium within your body is game-changing. When we learn how to balance the energy and emotions in our body, life becomes more enjoyable and satisfying. I want this kind of life for you. I lay out step-by-step this balancing process in my book, Establishing Equilibrium, and teach you how to attain your happiest and healthiest version of you. Establishing Equilibrium is available in paperback and now on Audible. If you're interested in raising your vibe, click the link down below. Now, back to our show. How are your thoughts showing up in your body? Our thoughts trigger emotions, emotions move energy, and now we're going to dive into how energy manifests physically. We take this whole math problem and add it all together. And in fact, physics in high school was one of my favorite classes. And I think about that now so much because it was all about energy. Of course, physics was my favorite class in high school. I mean, I loved a lot of classes, but I especially loved English and writing, of course, because I love writing, but I was fascinated by physics. Everything about energy and the way our bodies and our world worked is no surprise since I just have an absolute love affair with energy now. So we take this whole math problem and add it all together. This is how it works. We assign value to a thought that we allowed in our system, right? We decided that that thought was worthy of entering our system. The thought triggered emotion. We allowed it into our sacral chakra. We allowed it to stir up emotions. That's not always a bad thing. It can be good as well, but it still stirred it up either way. Then emotions ignited our energy to vibrate higher or lower. Then the energy presents itself physically within the physical body. We can look at a very simple explanation of this, which I believe I've talked about before, so I will do a briefer explanation, but this shows up simply as when you are around a group of people and someone has said something that was embarrassing to you, you ignited the thought that, wow, that's embarrassing. Then you feel embarrassed and then your energy begins to resonate at the feeling of embarrassment and then you blush. But what is true for blushing is true for every physical experience that we have. And in fact, there's going to be a very cool 7-part series coming up where I dive into this exploration of what your body is saying to you physically with each one of your physical ailments, what your body is trying to tell you emotionally. It is on its way to you over the next few weeks. There is a great article from Very Well that I will include a link down below that dives into this information more. In traditional Chinese medicine, each organ is assigned an emotion, then they have found that this is where when someone is feeling emotional, it is presenting physically here within this organ. Begin to take a scan at your body. What's aching today? What's irritating you? Begin to notice first where you might be a little triggered or achy today and see if this matches up for you. What I'm about to share with you. And then we can reverse engineer it. We can see where it has physically manifested. And then we can look to the emotions and then we can look to the thought. And I would love to hear in the comments down below if you've taken it to that 3-part series and reverse engineered your way back to what triggered your physical manifestation. This is what I do in my private coaching. I love this so much. Connecting all the dots, I find it fascinating and so empowering to know how our bodies are simply a manifestation of our emotions. Let me go through what each of these organs are trying to share with you. They have their own, each own personality. The heart is where we hold our joy, our lack of enthusiasm and vitality and despair. And in fact, there's so many stories where when someone wins the lottery, they have a heart attack or they finally got married and then they have a heart attack. It is not just a sad thing. that can cause a heart attack. Sometimes it's actually an overabundance of joy. It is the roller coaster. It is the high experience of energy here within the heart that can cause that to be so intense that you have the heart attack. The opposite is true too. You can be in such despair that you have a heart attack, but it can also be so much abundant joy. Again, we want to live within equanimity. We want to live in this balanced, neutral, always peaceful, always content place. And in calling it neutrality, I don't want you to think it's emotionless. It is a state that is beyond emotion. It is a state that is full of so much peace. It is a state that is full of so much bliss and peace that your constant is this state of peaceful equanimity. So you aren't unfeeling or unconnected. It is this true state of euphoria is what we are going for. But can you see how euphoria is different than joy? Euphoria has this vast feeling and experience that it just permeates every cell, experience, breath of your life, where blips of powerful joy are incredible and wonderful. But again, I want you to look at this as the, are you on a roller coaster or just in a constant state of peace? Liver is where we hold our anger, our resentment, our irritability, and where we are flying off the handle. Lungs can be grief or sadness or detachment. Gallbladder is where we hold our courage and decision making. Kidneys are where we hold our fear, our weak willpower, our insecurities, our aloofness, and our isolation. And spleen is where we hold our worry, our excessive mental effort, focusing too much on one topic. So we can do the body scan and see if one of these are showing up in the form of pain or illness. But we can also see and know that this is triggering for us by way of the TCM clock. So each one of our organs' energy repairs and balances and heals itself within a 2-hour window within a 24-hour clock. So if you are consistently waking up at a certain time at night, consistently, night after night, you're waking up at 3 a.m., this is a sign that your body is trying to tell you. Likewise, if you are tired during the day, during a similar window of time, during the same time period, wow, I always need a 4 o'clock nap. That too is a sign for you that your body is trying to tell you to explore and heal one of your organs, either physically or emotionally, or reverse engineering all the way back to the thought that created the energy and the physical manifestation. So let's go around the clock. We're going to rock around the clock and let you assess your sleeping, waking experience, starting with bedtime at 9 o'clock. I thought this might be an easier time to start. So if you are feeling wakeful during the nighttime hours, pay attention to what is happening here. And if you are feeling sleepy during the day, also pay attention and do some reflective work here. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. is what they call the triple burner. So this is the metabolism and endocrine system. This is also why if you've ever worked with a trainer, they tell you to go to bed by 9 p.m. because this is when we can ignite our metabolism. This is also when if you are struggling to lose weight, see what happens if you go to bed at 9 p.m. for a month. Watch what happens and see if your metabolism begins to increase and speed up. 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., gallbladder. This is where we hold our impulsivity and decision-making. And I would say anyone who is trying to make a big decision right now, for you college kids who are trying to decide which college you want to go to, I know it's so tempting to stay up at night, but try going to bed by 11 p.m. and watch how much your impulsivity shifts and how much more supported you feel energetically in your decision making. 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. is where our liver balances. So if you are angry or irritable at someone, you may find that if you got an argument that day, you might be up from 1 to 3 and watch, you will then fall asleep at 3:01. It is incredible to watch, knowing I've known the system for a long time, and it is incredible when I find myself awake. And then I know I just have to wait it out. And I can meditate, I can energy heal, I can energy balance, but truly, until that window closes, I'm not falling asleep. So begin to do your journaling, your reflective work on what your body is telling you. 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. is our lungs, and it is our where we hold our grief and our sadness. So often when people are grieving the loss of a loved one, they wake up between 3 and 5. And I personally found in my own grief healing journeys, Reiki was incredibly helpful, as was TCM. I remember there was one day I actually went in on my mom's angel birthday and was just so sad when I lay down for my appointment. And when I got up from my acupuncture appointment, I was literally 50% less sad immediately right after the energy balancing, and was able to sleep through the night. So if you are grieving, be kind to yourself. Do what you need to do to heal. If that means talking to a friend, talking to a therapist, or going to Reiki or acupuncture, but be kind to yourself, but know that there are choices and options out there to help balance you. There's so many things that can help balance. And if you're waking up between 3 and 5 and don't realize that you are sad, find your perfect way to balance yourself as well. And even doing your own energy work is so balancing and helpful. 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., large intestine. This is when we wake up, but this is when we release our bowels. This is when we meditate. This is also where we hold our interaction with relationships. So if you are feeling encumbered by a relationship, there's lots of facets to different relationships. But if you are feeling less peaceful about a certain relationship, you may find that you are waking up between 5 and 7, or maybe you have to confront someone. It could be this anxiousness of confronting someone. You may find yourself awake between 5 and 7. 7 to 9 a.m. our stomach. This is a time for good concentration. From 9 to 11 is our spleen. This is clear thinking. The spleen converts our food to qi. And this is where we worry. This is where we have excessive mental effort, or we're focusing too much on one topic. So again, from 7 to 9, typically we are typically awake during that time. But if you start to feel tired already in this window, would it be prudent to you to meditate in that moment? Would it be prudent to you to journal and maybe trust that everything is working out for you, no matter what is happening, and that worrying is simply a prayer for something to not work out the way we want it to work out? How can you let go and trust that you are being blessed? 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., heart, high energy, blood circulation, and happiness and joy. 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., small intestine, sort and absorb food. This is nap time. 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., our bladder. Energy is restored, work and study. Bladder is often where we hold our anxiety, so we can look to, once again, trusting all things are blessing us. All things we can trust and know that we manifest what we focus on. When we speak our life into existence and we begin to journal and speak and trust that life is working out for us, we can find that that anxiety diminishes. 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., kidney. During this time, we build our bone marrow, we store nutrients, and our kidneys are about our fear. Are you finding yourself afraid? Once again, trusting in this divine, perfect plan allows us to know that we don't want to be on that roller coaster of emotion. We want to find equanimity, peace, faith, and trust. And 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the pericardium. This is all about self-love, light reading, and this is a great time to have sex. This is the time our body wants to feel connected to someone. It is the pericardium. It is about love and joy and connection. Are you feeling tired when you should feel awake? And are you awake when you should be asleep? Even if your body is not presenting as an illness or as a pain, this is how your body is talking to you in a more subtle way first. And we want to respond when it is subtle like this before we get ill, before we have a bigger struggle on our hands, when we can listen at the whisper and we can listen in this subtle message, our health becomes so much easier to maintain. I always say this in my house, the best medicine is preventative medicine. When we listen to our body, it is the first and best form of self-love. What is your body telling you? How are your thoughts showing up in your body? Our thoughts trigger emotions. Emotions move energy, and energy manifests physically. What's your body saying to you? What are your thoughts saying to you? How can you shift your physical body by reframing, reshaping, and revamping your thoughts? Good luck this week on becoming less attached to your thoughts and staying off that roller coaster of emotion. Hey, before you go, can you do me a huge favor and simply click the like button on this episode and leave a comment? If you really loved this episode and feel like sharing it on your social media, tag me so we can connect and I can give you a shout out of appreciation. Thank you so much for spreading the love and healing. It makes such a difference in growing the show and in making the world a better place. Thank you so much for sharing it all. I'm so, so grateful. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I will see you next week. Love yourself enough to heal. Heal yourself enough to thrive. Take care.